But Jesus called his disciples. He didn't force them to go. They had the choice whether to join him or to stay behind. And do you know what? It's a bit of a mixed group. It's a funny group as ambassadors for the king, for Jesus the king. There were fishermen and political activists and tax collectors, just a normal people. They'd kind of get themselves a bit noticed, a bit like Jack and Ray and Hannah, who's gone to get out of a hot wetsuit, and Alison. You know, they were quite an odd group. Sorry, I'm not saying that about if you were all standing at the front with all your bits, you know what I'm saying, don't you? They would get noticed. So what can they take with them?
Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus, yes. And that's about it, really. They take Jesus' power and authority. And we thought about that in the podcast last week. That is more than ample. They take that with them, but they don't take a staff or a cloak or sandals or bread or a bag. Nothing. And that's unusual because normally travelling preachers would take a money, they'd take their wallet with them so that they could be paid. But Jesus said, don't take even that. And to rely on what others give them. Again, that's a very odd thing to say, isn't it? For a group kind of, you imagine if there was a group going out to say, the king's coming, God's kingdom's coming, there'd be trumpets and fanfare and horses and they'd be giving gifts to people. None of that. Just rely on what other people give you. Travel lightly so nothing weighs you down. You're not hindered by what you're carrying. Have you heard the phrase, those whom he calls, he equips? Yeah. I was given that a lot when I started training for ministry. I have to say, I'm not sure it made me feel any more equipped. And Esther did some training a couple of weeks ago, didn't she? For all of us actually, not just those of us who are helping out at the fair. Do you feel ready, Hannah? I'm picking on you because you're one of them, and Helen. Do you feel ready for the fair? No.
Not yet, because I've only practiced on one person.
Okay. Anybody who'd like a hand massage after the service? Hannah is going to... it wasn't just about hand massages. Esther said, you might feel God saying to you that you should pray with somebody. That doesn't often happen at the fair, but just occasionally it does. And somebody very bravely in our group said, what if you feel afraid? No, just one person said it. It's like, yeah, I think we're all feeling it, but only one person said it. So these disciples are to go out and they're to receive hospitality from the first person that offers it to them, to stay there, Jesus said. I think what he was saying was, don't think, oh, that house down the road, the smell from the cooking, oh, that's wonderful, maybe we could get an invite there. He's saying, stay where you're first invited. And at our family meeting on Wednesday, we talked about the word hospitality. The root word from that means a guest, a host, and a stranger, all of those things. And here they're being guests and with strangers. And I think there's also a bit of succession planning going on here. Jesus is just about to tell his disciples that he's going to die. They're not going to get it or understand it. But he has been taking God's love to everybody, and he's now preparing the disciples to do that and to rely on God as he's done. And there's some parallel passages in Mark and in Matthew. Do you know what the Synoptic Gospels are? No, they're Matthew, Mark and Luke, the Synoptic Gospels. So in all three Synoptic Gospels, this story is in there. And in Matthew 10, if you read them, you'll remember them. It talks about Jesus saying, I'm sending you out like sheep amongst wolves, which is not very inspiring, is it? Doesn't inspire confidence. But I think he's warning them that the Pharisees are religious wolves are. But they're in with the shepherd. And he does actually say in Matthew that they would know at the time what words to say because God would give them to them when they were arrested. So from now on, it wasn't just Jesus preaching and healing. It's all 12 disciples with their hard hats and bikes and wetsuits standing out. They're going to get noticed. They're going to get the attention of Herod, which is what happened. Do you think that bit that says, shake the dust off your feet, sounds a bit rude? Do you remember Jesus says, if people don't listen, shake the dust off your feet? Because I did when I read it. I thought, oh, what's going on here? Well, we actually read Paul and Barnabas did this in Antioch. Shook the dust off their feet against the Jewish leaders. Because at that time, travelling rabbis believed that the dust from a Gentile town, so those that weren't part of the Jewish faith, would defile them. It would make them unclean. They used to shake the dust off of their feet once they've been in a Gentile town, just to signify the fact they're different from the Gentiles. And I wonder if what Jesus is doing here is saying to them, you do your bit, you share God's love with these people, but it's not up to you to convert them. That bit is their decision. That's up to them. It's almost like an action. I've told them, I'll shake the dust off my feet if they're not interested. It's not on me. So that kind of turns it all on its head a bit, doesn't it? It doesn't seem so rude. I think that was something to actually encourage the disciples. So what do you think might be a conclusion from this passage? What do you think God could be saying to us through this? Are you all starting to think a bit like, oh, casting out demons and healing people? And I should say that casting out demons sometimes was casting out demons, but more often than not, that meant they thought at the time people with mental health issues might have had demons. So actually, it's healing, and the disciples were called to heal and to preach, which is rather lovely, I think. It's not just your spiritual needs that they're worried about, it's your physical needs as well. Go for it, Paul.
What's shaking the dust off their feet to deal with the rejection the disciples might feel after being rejected?
Yeah, I like that, Paul.
Dealing with their feelings of rejection.
Yeah.
It's the same with us. If we get rejected, we have to say, well, sorry, we can't do any more.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
We don't have to go away sorrowful, we have to just trust the Lord.
Yeah, absolutely. Brilliant, yeah. And there might be others. You might think of other reasons during the week. Let me know. That'd be good. There's a bit of a twist. You can heave a sigh of relief, okay, guys, because I'm not going to say to you, right, this week you need to go out and cast demons out and heal people and preach, all right? So you can just... Now, you know, I hope you know by now, the importance of weighing one text in the Bible against the rest of the Bible. Yeah, you don't just take one at face value. You need to look at what we call the bigger picture or the grand narrative of the whole of the Bible. And commentators don't always agree on a lot of things, but they agree on this, that this text in Luke 9, and looking at the other parallel passages in Matthew and Mark, appears to be a specific mission for the 12 disciples at that time. Okay, it's descriptive of a particular occasion, not prescriptive, something for us to do. These are not universal instructions. The disciples are told just to go to the Jews, and we know that from verse 6 where they talk about the villages. These were Jewish villages, and in Matthew as well. And that's whom Jesus started with, wasn't it? His first mission was to go to the Jews and then the Gentiles. And then if you start reading more, in Luke 22, so a few chapters on, it says, then Jesus asked them, when I sent you without a purse, bag or sandals, did you lack anything? No, they answered. He said to them, but now, if you have a purse, oh, I can have it back. If you have a purse, take it. And also a bag. And if you don't have a sword, sell your cloak and buy one. I don't think Jesus was actually saying, you need a sword. I think what he was, again, we're looking at the whole of Scripture. What he was saying, it was just hyperbolic language. He's exaggerating. He's making a point. He's saying, the Pharisees are going to be out to attack you. It's another warning. And this was actually just before the Mount of Olives. And then I was also thinking of those verses, which I'm sure many of you know, in 1 Peter, about preparation. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. So actually, we do need to be prepared. And last time, a couple of weeks ago, when Esther was here, we thought about what our story of faith is in 6 to 8 words, which at the time felt a bit small. But then Esther reminded us of some of the words in Scripture. I was blind, but now I see. That incites people to want to know more, doesn't it? And this is a bit more than 6 to 8 words, but the woman at the well who said, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. People want to know more. Richard, what's your big story?
What I said?
Yeah.
It answers the question why.
It answers the question why. Ray, what was your big story? I've written it down. I've written it down, but you can remember it. Yep, I'm fascinated by what Jesus did and how he did it. Hannah wrote, my faith anchors my worth, purpose and values. So it can be done, can't it? And you see, Richard and Ray remembered theirs. So when somebody asks them, they've got that. They don't have to worry about, Jesus came to her, he died, he lit for my sins. They've got that, which is really interesting, and you want to know more. Because I want to know, it answers the question why. Well, what why, Richard? Why are you here? Why do you care for others? What is your why, So we need to be prepared. Sundays are about preparing us for every other day in the week. Does anybody know what story comes after this? In Luke's Gospel 9. It's no coincidence that the story of the feeding of the 5,000 came after it, or the feeding of the 500, as Ethan said to me yesterday. It's like, no, it's 5,000. 5,000, really? Yes. And that didn't include the women and the children. Really? Yes. The feeding of the 5,000 comes right after. And what's that story about? Well, it's about the disciples not having anything, going without, with nothing, yet God provides everything. And he doesn't do it in a human way, he does it in a godly way. And also the disciples distribute the fish and the bread, just as now Jesus was calling them to share his love and his kingdom with others. So I've got a couple of questions for us to ponder and for you to perhaps share with each other before we come to communion. Have you ever experienced being sent somewhere by Jesus? And I don't mean China or Africa or India. I mean next to that person on the bus or in the playground to that person who's standing on their own. Have you ever been sent somewhere by Jesus? And if you have, maybe have a chat to the person next to you. Tell them where you were sent. Were you afraid? Did God give you courage? So let's do that for the next couple of minutes. Well, I don't know about you, but I've been encouraged by that. I hope you have too. Maybe go and, ask Laura later what her story was of being sent, because it's encouraging. It's not as scary as perhaps we first thought, is it? But it's really encouraging. You will find around the tables squares of paper. And before we come to a time of communion with Richard and Anne, I'm going to encourage you to write your story. This is easy for Ray and for Richard. Your story, 6 to 8 words if you can do it, on that piece of paper, and then to pop it in your shoe. Okay? Because you can take that with you wherever... who said who? You can take that with you wherever you go. So we're going to do that, and then in a few moments, Richard and Anne will lead us. Because Jesus frees me. Sorry, it's my leg got stuck. A bunch of grapes, is he? Or fish scales. Yeah. No, it's not easy. I guess that's why we need to spend a bit of time thinking about it, so that... Yeah. Yeah.
Where he's been,
has
been to the
Alpha. Oh, right, yeah. Something like, God gives me strength to play football.
Yes. Doesn't always give us a win, though, does it?
And teaches me how to lose, yeah.
I'm afraid to get over the feet.
Yeah.